and prophesying. Amen. I'll never forget to do that. Prophesy. Tell those bones to get up. Tell your body to get up out of that bed. Get up out of that chair. Get up out of that grave. If you feel like you're stuck in the mud or what have you in a pit, get up out of it. You got to talk yourself out of that. If you got your Bibles, open up to Acts chapter 2. It says here, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. That word Pentecost means 50. Their 50th. That's all it is. You don't have to be afraid of that word. Oh my goodness, Pentecostal and all. Pentecost. It just means 50. It means 50. It was 50 days after Jesus was resurrected is when the day of Pentecost came. 50 days after. And then all the believers, not unbelievers, they weren't mixed in with each other. It was believers. All believers were together in one place. And then in chapter 1, Jesus tells them to go and wait in Jerusalem until they receive the gift that the Father had promised them. The Holy Spirit was something that the Father, God, the Father had promised them. Jesus had promised them that there would be another. So he told them to go and wait, and you will receive power from the Holy Spirit when he comes on you. The reason why it says he is because he's a person. Well, I don't know about that word Trinity. Trinity's not in the Bible. Well, the word Bible's not in the Bible. The word theocratic is not in the Bible, but we know it's going to be ran by God himself, this government. There's a lot of things that are not in the Bible, but the definition of it is. Okay, it was there first. They came up with the definition later, or the name of it later. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says this, all these gifts, it's Amplified Version, you have chapter 12, okay. So all these gifts, achievements, abilities are inspired and brought to pass by one and the same Holy Spirit who apportions to each person individually as it chooses. He. See, there it is again. He. Spirit. Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives the gifts and all the believers can operate and flow in each and every one of these gifts. It isn't one specific, well, I just have the gift of faith. It's how he chooses. He chooses that for you. And we all have that. Well, my gift is better than you. Doesn't matter. He chooses. In verse 15, it says that there were 100, and chapter 1, it says, there were 120 believers together in one place. 120. That's a lot of people. 120 believers. And Jesus had appeared to them about 8 times after the resurrection and before Pentecost. He had probably appeared to them about 12 times through Scripture altogether. But 8 times. 8 times. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says, at one point in time, there was 500. He says, I pass on to you what was most important, what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried, and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. He was seen by Peter, and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than how many? 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Now, again, there was 120, but he appeared to 500. He was seen by 500. Now, can you imagine 380 people did not show up the day of Pentecost? 500 seen him after he was resurrected, after he died and was resurrected, and he showed himself and revealed himself, but yet only 120 stayed. Now, can you imagine being that first guy to say, I'm just tired of waiting. I'm gone. Peace. I'm going to do what I used to do. Imagine leading that group. If the Lord told you to wait, could you wait? Could we wait on God's timing? Sometimes we might get impatient on stuff because we want it now. We want it now, Lord. Lord, I want it now. We're praying, and I got to have that result now because my rent's due now. The Lord knew you needed it, but why'd you wait until 4 months later? Do it on day one. So suddenly there was a sound from heaven, like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. This happened in the upper room. In the upper room. Now, some people believe that this may or may not have been the same upper room that Jesus had the Last Supper with his disciples. In Mark 14, it says, on the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb is sacrificed, Jesus' disciples asked him, where do you want us to go prepare the Passover meal for you? So Jesus sent two of them into Jerusalem with these instructions. As you go into the city, a man carrying a pitcher of water will meet you. Follow him. At the house he enters, say to the owner, the teacher asks, where is the guest room where I can eat the Passover meal with my disciples? He will take you upstairs to a what? A large room that is already set up. That is where you should prepare our meal. Now, again, through scriptures, it doesn't talk about whether or not this is the same room or not, but it would make sense if it was. You know, this was the last place that Jesus was with his disciples together. Okay? He says, there was a sound of heaven, of roaring wind that filled the house. Just through a simple act of obedience, 120 believers perceived the power of the Holy Spirit along with gifts. Obedience. It's not something they have to work hard for. He told them to wait. It doesn't matter how many numbers there were, but there is strength in numbers. But it's a whole lot better to have strength in numbers and obedience than outside of God's will. They obeyed, they believed, and they received. The Holy Spirit does the work through us. He does the work through us. We just have to believe. So why do you think the enemy is after your thought life? If he can get you away from this, he can get you in the flesh. And you can't whoop him in the flesh. You can't keep him under your foot in the flesh. He doesn't want you to get a hold of this. He doesn't want you to be endued with power. He don't want you operating this way. He don't want you praying to God. And he wants to know your plan so he can just create more obstacles in your life. Because if he can just get us to not believe what God says, not to trust in him, then he can get us into fear. It says, then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. The tongues of fire came with power. It came with power. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of what? That boldness. Pentecost is when God gave power to the believers through the Holy Spirit. The power gave them ability to speak in an unknown language. A beautiful language. What the Bible refers to as tongues. And I understand that might freak some people out, but well, Jesus didn't need it. No, because he was only sent to Israel. He wasn't sent to the world. Paul was sent into the world. That's why you needed it. God has given believers this boldness to be able to come to the throne of grace and to face their enemies rather than just acting cowardly, running away like your tail tucked between your legs when an enemy opposes you or what have you. The Bible says that in Proverbs 28:1, I believe it says, the wicked run when no one pursues them, but the righteous are as bold as a what? A lion. Where do you think that boldness comes from? The Holy Spirit, not from your flesh. Comes from the Holy Spirit. If the church can ever get together through obedience to the Word of God, there really isn't anything that they cannot accomplish. There's nothing that they can't accomplish. The Tower of Babel God looked at them and said, there's nothing that will be impossible for them. They all came together. They all spoke in one language. Nothing would be impossible. Jesus said the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against us. But yet the enemy got us fighting one another. Great plan. I can't stop you, but you can stop yourself. Genesis 11. Reading verse 1 through 7. It says, and the whole earth was of one language and of one accent and mode of expression. And as they journeyed eastward, they found a plain valley in the land of Shinar, and they settled and dwelt there. Now, here's the thing. No one knew what this language was, and it wasn't English. I'll guarantee you that. It was not English. No one knew what this language was, but they all were together. This is the whole earth. Go back to verse 1, please. And the whole earth. Some estimate there was maybe about 10,000 people on earth at this time. They all collectively came together. There was a one language. So they were able to speak and understand each other quite well. And it says, as they journeyed eastward, verse 2, eastward. Now, some people may have some different connotations, and theologians might talk about what eastward means and stuff. Some may say it's moving away from God because, you know, the garden was in the east of Eden, but when Adam and Eve was kicked out of the garden, they went east. When Cain killed Abel, afterwards he migrated east. When Lot separated from Abraham, he went east. So basically, eastward is, you can look at it as journeying away from God. That's why I lived in the West. He says, go eastward. The whole earth journeyed eastward. And we know Babel. They were not in the will of God. They didn't have that relationship with them. They didn't have that fellowship with them. In verse 3, it says, and they said one to another, come, let us make bricks. Who did that sound like when in Genesis 1? Who said, let us? God. And God said, let us make man in our image. Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. So they have bricks for stone and slime and bitumen and for mortar. And they said, come, let us build a city and a tower whose top reaches into the sky. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered. They wanted to make a name for themselves. Who do they have anything to prove to? They're all there. Normally, people would try to make a name for themselves because they want somebody else to see it. But again, this is for generations afar off. They wanted to make a name themselves. They wanted to be God. They wanted to be their own God. They wanted to do their own thing. They wanted to leave their mark for future generations. Because we know that God told them to be fruitful and multiply and subdue the earth. Fill the earth. Now, we're going to stay in this one little city. And we're going to build this tower, and we're going to be just like God. We're going to be our own gods. And God saw that they were doing and how they were in agreement. And he says, nothing that they imagine will be impossible for them. There is strength in numbers. If you can get people in agreement with you, you can do some things. There's two kingdoms at work. The kingdom of light, in the kingdom of darkness. And the kingdom of darkness is trying to do whatever they can in order to get together their strength in numbers in order to come against the kingdom of light. And then here we are fighting each other. Boy, if we can ever just get the picture. We can do some things, y'all. The church. I'm not saying Westview, the church, the body of Christ can really, truly do some things if we can get together. God had to stop what was going on here. Now here's the true God. I said in verse 7, I believe it says, come, let us go down. Now, who's talking there? And confound, mix up, confuse their language. This is God. Now, if it was just Jesus himself, that would be a bit schizophrenic right there, wouldn't it? Let us. Well, who are you talking to? Ain't nobody here but you. It's God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Word. That was made flesh later on. He says, come, let us go down. God wasn't fearing what they would be able to do to come against them, man. It doesn't matter how strong they were, the strength in numbers, it doesn't matter. They still would not be able to come against God. But they weren't doing what he called them to do, which was to be fruitful and multiply and subdue the earth. You have power and dominion over all the earth. It was stopping that plan. In Zephaniah 3, it says this, for then, changing their impure language, I will give to the people a clear and pure speech from pure lips, that they may call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one unanimous consent and united shoulder, bearing the yoke of the Lord. Changing their impure language. You know, in every language, there's cuss words. Now, some of this is like from Robert Morris's stuff. But there are cuss words in every language. My brothers knew the first cuss words and when it came to Spanish. They knew all the cuss words and stuff like that. And they knew all the words that you know, if somebody was getting ready to ambush them, they knew those words. But they really couldn't communicate all the way, except for my older brother. He's pretty fluent with it. But there's a cuss word in every language. He says, changing their impure language, I will give the people a clear and pure speech. It's tongues. That's tongues. Because you're not speaking to man, but to God. You know, when you're praying in the Spirit, there's no way you're going to cuss out God on that one. You're not going to curse him because it's pure, it's holy. You're praying the perfect will of God over your life or over that situation or over whoever is on your heart. There's no impure speech or language when you're praying in tongues. You don't have to think about it. It's your spirit that's praying. A pure and holy language. And it's to serve him in one unanimous consent or one accord, some of your versions may say. At the day of Pentecost, they were together. They were all together in one accord. They were on the same page, one in heart, one in mind. They knew, this is it. We're waiting on you, Lord. We're waiting on you. It ain't about all the latest trends. It ain't about what the latest gossip. It ain't about the latest news that's out on television. Lord, it's about you and me, and we're connected, and we're waiting on the Holy Spirit to fill us, to fill us, to fill us. When was the last time you just waited on the Lord to get that continual feeling? Just shut everything down. Feel me, Lord. We don't want to get empty. It's a continuous feeling that we do. We don't want to be running on fumes. You know, the more and more that you continually get filled, the more and more you're able to walk with him in fellowship and learn from him. I would have to attest, the more that I do it, the more... less likely I'm to throat punch somebody because I'm not even thinking about that. Seriously, being honest. I don't want to do that when I'm praying in the Spirit. And I get out of that, I was like, man, that's so refreshing. That's so refreshing. When the children of God comes together in one accord, there is literally nothing that the enemy can do in order to stop them. Pharaoh knew that the Israelites were more and mightier than he was because of their strength in numbers. So he began to deal with them shrewdly. When people begin to treat you wrong and treat you bad, it's not because there's something negative or bad about you is because that anointing messes with their demons. They know you have a greater one on the inside of you. So they're going to do that. You don't have to wonder why. You know it's Jesus. If they did it to him, they'll do it to you. So keep yourself in love. And he says, if you're truly walking in love, he says, these three remain. 1 Corinthians 13, and people know that scripture. 13, right? We say it at weddings and stuff like that. Love is patient, love is kind. But he says, in verse 13, it says, and these three remain, faith, hope, and love. Chapter 14, verse 1 continues, now follow love and covet these spiritual gifts. Desire these gifts. Crave these gifts. Now, I don't want it. I don't need it. Yes, you do. You do. You're going to need it. Why? So you don't throat punch people. Somebody might need a prophetic word. Somebody might need your gift of faith or his gift of faith that he gives you. Someone may need a word of knowledge. I mean, a good word from the Lord I'm talking about a timely word is better than anything else that you can get. That's greater than anything. A timely word in this season, man, you're searching. You haven't heard from the Lord at all. You don't know if he's left you and what have you. And the thing is, he says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. But when he gives it to someone, I say, give him this word. Boy, I'm talking about food for your soul. It's different. It just hits different. There's nothing like it. Jesus promised the infilling of the Holy Spirit. In John 14, it says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. The Holy Spirit will never, ever leave you. Ever. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. He is a truth dealer. He only deals in truth. Nothing else. No lies. It's in truth. The world cannot receive him. They're not really looking for him. They don't want to know him. It's all about them. Because it isn't looking for him, and he doesn't recognize him. But you know him. Because he lives with you, and now, later, he lives with you now, and later will be in you. He promises you that. We can't be too busy creating our own God. We can't be too busy where we're just so distracted in life where we're just trying to do it ourselves. We have a Holy Spirit. We have an advocate. We have a counselor. Now, how much time do you spend with your counselor? How much time do we really spend with him? Because he's got every answer that you need. And even when he doesn't give you an answer, he never left you because he lives in you. You might be frustrated on your job. Sit down. You could be on your tractor, frustrated, cursing out in your own language, but yet there's a heavenly language where you will never curse. And you're praying the perfect will of God. And yet, some don't want it. That almost saddens me. But then after that, I'm like, I don't really give a rip. I want it. Because I'm going to follow love. God is love. We follow him. And he says, desire this. Desire. Crave these spiritual gifts. It doesn't have to be anything crazy. I know some people have made it out to be just really weird in every which way, and they just don't understand it. But you know what? Jesus talked about the world didn't know him. They thought that he was crazy at times too, speaking to the wind. Who does that? They've never seen anyone do that. Calming the seas, walking on water. Who does that? Opening up a tomb and speaking to a dead body. Who in their right mind does that? He has the ability to forgive sins. Only God can do that. The Holy Spirit's our advocate. He's our helper. Our comforter. And he is so important in these last days. So important. And we should never just shrug him off as if it's nothing. We don't necessarily need him. He is so important. And if you don't have that infilling of the Holy Spirit, we'd like to introduce you to him today. Amen. You can just pray and ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, just come into my heart. It ain't nothing. It's just like how you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You believe. You receive him. Just fill my heart. And Lord, I believe that you will give me that heavenly prayer language as well. So, today, let's just get filled up, shall we? I just want you focused on him. You don't have to say it if you don't want to. I'm not going to force you to. But here's the thing, you get to. You get to. But Father God, we thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for all you've done. And Lord, and as we ask the Holy Spirit to just fill us, Lord, I just believe that you would just come through and fill us even more so, not just to the rim, Lord, overflowing. Love, passion, your Spirit in us, Lord. We just thank you. So just repeat after me, Holy Spirit, today I ask that you fill me right now in the name of Jesus. Fill my heart with your Spirit. And I believe that as you fill me, that I would receive my language, my heavenly language, to be able to speak in tongues and pray in tongues and get an interpretation of what I'm praying. We thank you. Now just receive it. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you. Hallelujah. Come in. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And they were all together in one place, in one accord. There was a teenager that we were at camp. It was Camp Awakening, and we were helping as one of the ushers and stuff, helping young people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I got to one and prayed with him, and he he received everything. He received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He began speaking in tongues, and he said it was just like a waterfall, just from the top of his head all the way through. I'm all the way down. I'm telling you, when you see a teenager just give their heart to Jesus and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's just another level. There's nothing like it. I understand teaching is rewarding, but that, it's on another level right there. Well, thank you. We thank you, Lord. We just give you all the glory, honor, and praise. And understand, when you open up your mouth, the Bible says you're praying, but your Holy Spirit intercedes with you when you get your prayer language. So if you just open up your mouth, nothing is going to come out. Just like, but you have to say something. You have to begin to pray. And the Holy Spirit will intercede, and it will just, it's kind of like you thinking you're walking by yourself, and all of a sudden, boom, 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 boom. He's coming right along with you. He intercedes with you. I started out just doing one babble. Now I'm pretty fluent with it and give you interpretation and things of that nature. I said, here's the thing. You start out where the Lord has you start out. And the more and more you do it, you're going to see the growth in it. I mean, your language becomes, even in English, I mean, you may be starting out with mama and dada and stuff, but the more and more you learn, the more and more you grow, the more developed your vocabulary is. So when you get in your room or in your car, just begin praying in the Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit's help for it. He won't let you down. It might be weird at first, but you're going to have to shut your mind down. Paul said, I'm glad I speak in more tongues than all of you. More. And if you do, you won't be going around throat punching people. You'll be walking in the fullness of what God has for you. Amen. Let's stand up. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done. Lord, we thank you. This is the day of Pentecost. Lord, it's not the hour of Pentecost. This is the day of Pentecost, Father God. And we just thank you, Jesus, for all you've done. Without you, we are nothing. We're just a blimp. Lord, we just yield ourselves to you, our plans to you. And if there are people who are stuck in this time, Lord, we just believe that as they begin praying in the Spirit, you will give them answers, clear-cut answers that will revolutionize their walk, not just with you, but with their partners, their business partners, with their spouses, with their children. And Lord, we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.